that religion shapes all of their thinking, even outside of the physical confines of their church, synagogue, mosque, etc. For many deadheads, being at a dead show was a religious experience, and the resonances of that experience touched everything they did before and after the show. We were certainly pilgrims for the dead. However, for every person, the feeling, the rationale, the path of finding and living the life of a deadhead is different. This is mine. One common reaction I received when I told people I was writing a book about being a deadhead was, essentially, a bunch of middle-class white kids. This reaction was usually coupled with a disdain for what the Observer considered deadhead phoniness. Why would a bunch of middle-class white kids want to act poor, an actual quote, and scrounge around the country in crappy cars and even crappier clothes? This response is only natural. We all, myself included, love stories about people who overcome economic, physical, or mental challenges to better themselves, to overcome, to make it big, succeed, and get ahead. And in these people's eyes, deadheads do none of those things. If anything, deadheads take the natural advantages they are born with in this culture, skin color, wealth, education, etc., and spit on them. Or worse, ignore them completely. These observations are echoed by sociologist Rebecca G. Adams, who says, quote, "The cultural mainstream applies a tribal stigma to deadheads because they do not appear to be what they should be," unquote. As I encountered these biases more and more, it became obvious to me that deadhead haters, and there are plenty of them, often saw deadheads' motives as a rejection of core value systems, which, of course, quickly translates to a perceived rejection of the individual's value system, and in turn, a rejection of that person. As Adams pointed out, stigma against deadheads is particularly strong because membership is voluntary. Quote, "When participation and identity is voluntary, as with the deadhead community, the idea is that people who do not want to experience stigma can simply end or hide their affiliation. It is thus fair to expect that the stigma assigned to deadheads who choose to make their membership in the community known to others is relatively potent," unquote. Apparently, our late 20th century glorification of the lovable slacker, including nationwide hysteria over the dumbing down of American culture, has been deleted like so much spam. The annoying E-version, not the gelatinous slacker delicacy. In one sense, we can thank Bart Simpson for the editorial fodder that established popular culture studies programs across academia, thus creating dozens of classes that are excellent to attend while totally baked. In another, we can curse academia for sucking all the dumb fun out of popular culture. When everything means something, mindless fun loses its zen-like pizzazz. Ironically enough, the term hippie, often erroneously synonymous with deadhead, derived from the beatnik word hip, which essentially meant you were cool. You understood what was going on in an intuitive way. You knew the score. You weren't trying too hard to do anything at all. You just were. Hippies were the children of the beatniks. Now here I must admit my grudging but functional use of the term beatnik. This, as Allen Ginsberg called it, foul term, was coined by Herb Kane in an April 2, 1958 article in the San Francisco Chronicle. It was intended, and succeeded, as a put-down. Kane's article was published roughly 6 months after the launch of Russia's Sputnik satellite. It appeared in the thick of the San Francisco poetry renaissance that saw the beat authors devolve rapidly from underground icons to media-scarred cultural stereotypes. By mixing Jack Kerouac's self-generated label Beat with America's paranoia over communist supremacy via the phallic shot heard round the world, Kane succeeded in demonizing an entire generation of pacifist, poetry-reading, philosophy-spewing, chess-playing, coffee-shop-sitting, middle-class white kids as a threat to American values. By the time Kane's article appeared,